T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for KJ and Barrett. It's KJ and Brian Barrett on EEI.
Understand it was incredible 20 years. Not even incredible. Unprecedented in any professional sport in America. And that includes the 27 Yankees and the 50s and 60s Celtics. This was unprecedented in the scope of what the Patriots accomplished. So how much time does that buy you? I think it buys you a while. And it buys you, I think, the latitude that you will never, ever, ever be fired. I don't think Bill Belichick will ever be dismissed by the New England Patriots. I think that he would be, in the same way Tom Brady left the Patriots, a mutual decision or a parting. But if I'm the Crafts and I have a season in which my revenues were down, and Robert's now an octogenarian, and Jonathan wants him to understand the team is in good hands going forward, you have to say, okay, what's the plan? What are we doing at quarterback? We all understand, you know, I don't care how many historical books you have on your shelf. I get it, too. You need a quarterback and you don't have one. What are we doing there?
KJ and Barrett on WEEI and part of the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Thank you so much for hanging out. We're here with the next 4 hours. Bill Belichick could never be fired. That's according to Tommy Curran. You think, Brian?
Well, if we go back in time, he's been fired before. But I don't think he'd ever be fired by Bob Kraft and the Patriots, at least not anytime soon, for sure. But I don't see them ever firing Bill. I see Bill walking away when Bill wants to walk away. Because think about this. There's no way they would ever even contemplate doing that in the short term, right?
Yeah, in the short term.
They just sided with Bill, right? So it would look horrible. It would look horrendous if Robert Kraft moved on from Belichick after a season or two, after Tom Brady just won a Super Bowl, right?
Like, so let's say, he goes 7-9, 7-9, 8-8. 3 years into the failed experiment that potentially could happen. It's like the feeling people have. After 3 years, does Bob Kraft say, Bill, either step down as coach, move into the GM office, or stay the coach and give up the GM duties?
No, nobody wants him to do that. Nobody wants him to just be the GM, right?
Well, like, but that would be the next place you would go to if you feel like the coaching is getting ahead of me.
Or I mean, the latter portion makes more sense. It would just never happen, right? Like when you say, Bill, just be the coach and don't be the GM anymore. Like that one actually makes sense. But the problem is if you fire Bill the GM, you're also firing Bill the head coach. And do you want to lose Bill, the head coach, who I still believe is the greatest coach in the history of the sport, despite having an off year? I don't want to lose Bill, the head coach. So if you fire Bill, the GM, you're losing that as well. You can't tell Bill, hey, Bill, you know what? I know you've been doing two jobs for 20 years here, and now you're only going to do one. There's no way Bill would ever agree to that. And that would essentially be a firing. So if that's the point, if Robert tries to strip away the GM title, so to speak, then Bill would walk away. Say, I'm out. See ya.
So would you say that, okay, Bill may have a 3-year window? With last year included, right? Like, Bill, you've got $70 million. Maybe this year is the turnaround if you don't do it by year three because we're here.
I don't believe Bill has a window. Bill's going to dictate when Bill wants to leave at this point in time. The biggest decision in the history of the organization was to let Tom Brady walk to Tampa Bay. And whatever Robert Kraft wants to say, he played a role in that. He could have, years ago, told Tom Brady, hey, here's your extension. Here's all your money. And he could have sided with Tom Brady and said, Bill, if you don't want to coach Tom, we'll move on for you. But Robert let Bill make the decision. That's what he says. It was Bill's decision. It was Tom's decision. He tries to deflect any blame whatsoever.
Right, because he's not in the middle of operations like that.
But even though he owns the team, I mean, if he really truly wanted Tom Brady to stay after Brady won the MVP of the league in 17 and threw for 500 yards and asked Bill for an extension and he wouldn't give it to him and he offered him all these incentives, he could have stepped in and said, Bill, this is what we're doing. This is Tom Brady. We're taking care of the player. That's what we're doing right now. Just like I told you, you had to get rid of Jimmy G. I'm putting my foot down. You have to sign Tom Brady to an extension. So he could have already made that decision. So now knowing that basically by what he didn't do, right, by not stepping in with the Tom Brady extension, he sided with Bill. And it makes sense, right, if you just look at it practically. Now, it doesn't look good now because Tom just won a Super Bowl. But think about it practically. You're playing the long game if you're Robert Kraft. You're saying Bill could do this for another 5 to 10 years. Maybe I look at a 43-year-old quarterback and say he can only do it for another year or two, right? So when you look at it from that perspective, you can understand why Robert sided with Bill. But that's also why he's never going to fire Bill, because it also looks bad on him that he's getting rid of the coach because he chose the coach over the quarterback.
617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett on WEEI. The reason why I said 3 years is because Bill's got to make up his mind about a quarterback now. I don't think it's a next year thing. If it's a next year thing, then I think that looks like Bill is looking more at his legacy and less about rebuilding the team. Because I don't see, if he doesn't get it done in 3 years, there has to be some type of question of, is the job beyond Bill now?
Like, has he lost his fastball, so to speak? I think we can definitely say that about the GMing duties. I don't think anybody, even the biggest Bill Belichick supporter, would be able to say that Bill's done a good job over the past 4 to 5 years. That's definitely true, but as a coach...
So, in fairness with the draft, when you're good, you're not going to have the best draft picks, right? When you're a good team, you're always going to be drafting near the bottom.
Yeah, but sure, they were good in the earlier part of the last decade as well, and he was actually drafting well at that point in time. Remember, he drafted Gronk, he drafted Chandler Jones, he drafted Dante Hightower, he drafted Devin McCourty, he drafted Nate Solder, right?
But you, so would you think of Gronk as a second rounder in the history of Gronk now?
What do you mean?
Like, no, because when you find these gems in these second rounds, that's what you're supposed to do when you're a good team. That the better players that you're going to find for your system or what you're trying to do are not going to be at the top of the draft. They're going to be in the secondary rounds.
Right, but your point is that you have more difficult draft, or it's more difficult to draft because you're later on, right? Because you're
right.
So good.
But so the coaching does come in where, okay, yeah, he's coaching up guys that were passed over in some
right, but my point is, for the first 5 years of the last decade, before Bill started to really struggle as a GM, he was pretty good. He was drafting studs, right? So it's partially because of Bill's own success earlier in his career, drafting to this point where he has struggled over the past 4 to 5 years or so. And I know, like, we can't really write off the 2020 class yet because, when you looked good, Uche looked good in his limited time. We got to wait on that class.
Second thoughts about Nikhil.
But really, 17 to 19, it has not been particularly good for Bill. So that's my point, is that, like, if you want to question him as a GM, sure. But if you say, Bill, you're not GMing anymore, then Bill is not going to be the head coach. He's just not. He's been in one position the same way. Now, to your quarterback question, he's got to figure it out in the short term. Because to Tommy Curran's point about business, that's something I would be concerned about if I was the Crafts, right? And if you roll this back with Cam Newton, can you imagine what it's going to be like? First of all,
I don't think Cam Newton's come back here to start. I think, again, when he announced that he was cutting back on his wardrobe and the I Am Player podcast he was on with Brandon Marshall, I think what he's really saying is, I want to come back, but I also understand my role, which is going to be a backup at best. At best.
I don't believe Cam will come back if he knows he's going to be the backup.
I don't think anyone's hiring him as the starter.
Sure. Then if you're Cam Newton, you just wait. You just wait it out and say, all right, if somebody gets hurt during the season, maybe I'll get an opportunity to start. Or
I think people have seen that movie.
But don't you think other teams would say, like, maybe it's Denver, right? If Denver doesn't get a guy and they roll him with Drew Lock and they bring Cam Newton into camp, doesn't Cam have a chance to win the job? I don't believe if Cam is definitively told by Bill, you have no chance whatsoever at winning the starting job of the Patriots in 2021, he's not coming back. He's not going to sit around with a clipboard. That's not.
But nobody called him last year, right? Nobody called Cam last year.
I understand that, but this guy has over $100 million in NFL money. He has tons of sponsorship money that he's made over the years. Why would he come around for a league minimum contract to be a backup, right? You'd rather wait it out, see if you can get an opportunity with another organization. And I'm not so sure that's not going to come. What if Washington's sitting in a place where they got Alex Smith, who, unfortunately, I would not trust the health of him based on his leg history.
I think he retires. I think now is where you go to Hollywood and write that story. and just go ahead and make that.
Well, maybe he does. Okay, so that's even more of an indication that that's another spot. Tyler Heinicke is their only quarterback then, right? Or they have Kyle Allen, who's also coming back from a gruesome injury. Ron Rivera used to be his coach. Maybe he says, hey, I can get it right with Cam Newton. So I understand, like, he's going to have a limited market, and the Patriots are his best opportunity, but I don't see him coming back to be a backup, which I would be fine with. I don't want Cam Newton to be on the Patriots in 2021, but I believe if he does bring him back, him being Bill, then he's going to be the starter. And Cam's begging this week. I mean, that podcast that he's talking about what a great guy Bill is and all this different type of stuff and how he's got this aura and he's great to be around and blah, blah, blah. He's begging for his job back.
Backup. He'll be a backup at best. Unless
I don't disagree with the talent level.
I think Cam Newton is a great emergency quarterback. Like, if your QB1 goes down or has to go in concussion protocol, you can manage what you need to manage for the rest of a game with Cam Newton. When it comes to game planning and executing the game plan, I think that's something totally different.
I don't believe he's a good any quarterback right now, right? Even an emergency quarterback. I'm just saying the hypothetical coming from Cam's perspective. If Bill tells him, hey, we're rolling it back with you and Stidham and maybe somebody else, maybe they draft somebody in the mid rounds, Cam's going to come back and think he's going to win the job over Stidham, right? Why wouldn't he? He beat him out last year, so he's going to assume he's going to win that job. So I could see it from that scenario. But if Bill definitively says to Cam, you're coming back and you're going to be the backup, he's going to say, no, I don't want any part of that whatsoever.
Well,
right?
You can tell him you can come back and compete for the job.
Yeah, that's my point. If he says you can compete for the job.
Yeah, you don't tell him, like, you come back, but we know the end result is most likely he's going to be the backup.
Well, I mean, do we know that for sure if the competition is Stidham? He beat him out before, and he never took the job away from Cam last year.
Well, that gets me to, like, the point of I think Bill has to get a free agent quarterback. I don't know what trade will go through that will satisfy the base or that would satisfy a trade partner. I don't think people are lining up to trade with the Patriots, especially after 20 years of dominance. Nobody feels bad for you.
Yeah, but who would even be that player, right, at this point in time? Like, is that player even out there that Bill could go after, right? The guy that was an actual franchise-level quarterback that was legitimately on the market. I'm not talking about Watson or Wilson yet, right? But the legitimate guy on the market was Stafford. He had no interest in coming here.
But that was a trade. I think that's the thing. What I'm getting at is I don't think there's going to be any trade partners for any desired quarterback. So all these names that get mentioned in some type of trade, why would they trade with the Patriots when the Patriots have been dominant for 20 years? Nobody's interested in helping you. It's free agent or draft.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily like, for example, the Raiders have to get off Mariota's contract right now. I'm not advocating. I don't want Mariota. I'm just saying that the Raiders, you'd actually be doing them a favor as well, because the Raiders need to get off that contract because they're in salary cap hell right now, and Mariota's on the books for over $11 million, and it can go way up if he actually plays.
But if he plays, right.
So if they get a low pick, I mean, they're either going to have to cut him or settle for a low-round draft pick. That actually helps the Raiders as well because they get off the contract and they get a draft pick. So it's not just like, oh, Bill is ripping you off or the Raiders are helping out Bill Belichick. It's, hey, this is something we have to do for our salary cap purposes.
But I feel like a trade is a bird in the bush and not a bird in the hand. I mean, yes, the free agent quarterback market doesn't look exciting at all. It doesn't even look pleasurable, really. But the bird in the bush is any type of trade. The bird in the hand is the free agent quarterback that's available. And I think that's where Bill is heading to.
Yeah, so getting back to the original point, like as this situation pertains to Robert Kraft.
Right.
If he goes out and he signs any of these guys that are technically free agents right now, you think Robert Kraft's like, oh, all right, now we're back in business if we sign Ryan Fitzpatrick or Mitchell Trubisky?
I like Trubisky.
I know you like Trubisky, but do you think Robert Kraft's like, oh, yeah, the Bears, who have been looking for a quarterback literally for their entire franchise? I know they won a Super Bowl with McMahon, but he was not like a long-time franchise quarterback there, right? They've been looking for one their entire existence. He didn't work out there. They're desperate for one. You think Robert Kraft's like, all right, Bill, I like it. I love the idea of bringing
in
a guy.
Well, there's nobody to love that's out there. Unless,
right, that's my point.
Right.
That's my point why I just wish that Bill would acknowledge where the organization is. Like there's only two avenues I see that the Patriots can legitimately get like an actual franchise quarterback. There's only two ways. The first one is you trade up this year and you go after Trey Lance or Justin Fields and you say, you know what? I'm acknowledging that the roster is bad, so let's just go for a long rebuild. And if you want to play whoever for a year, I'm fine with that. Any of the bridge guys, I'm fine with that as long as you trade up to get the quarterback. Or the only other thing is, and this is a way more riskier proposition and way more of a gamble, is you wait until next year and you try to be the team to sell Dak Prescott to come to your team, because that's
there's no way they can't wait another year. If you've already seen 7-9.
Okay, so the only avenue to get a franchise guy is to trade up then. That's the only avenue, because there's nobody else that's available. So unless you're waiting for Dak next year, you got to get the guy this year.
There's just a crazy part of me that believes in the Trubisky reclamation project. That, okay, if the guy was a number one pick. Now, granted, Mahomes and Watson, those are things you can argue. But now that the guy has been in the league and is still serviceable, is this not what the Patriots kind of have done in history? Take something that people no longer believe in and then believe in. It's just that the quarterback position has never been that position. This is the chance that this is that time you take that chance versus trying to dance around with the draft. I know people have, I've heard, you know, Kiper mentioned that, you know, the trading with Denver. Denver needs a quarterback. Why would they give up a position to take a quarterback to give somebody else a quarterback what you need? I don't get it.
Well, maybe they believe they have a really good opportunity at getting the big fish out there, Watson, right? Maybe he's
to Denver.
Well, he was on the the Denver Broncos were on his list. They were one of the teams he's interested in going to.
There have been things on my kid's Christmas list, and I just look at him like,
no. But I mean, right? If you're, it makes sense for Watson. Like, they have a million weapons there in Denver now. Judy had an okay rookie season, a little bit of case of the drops. You have Noah Fant. You have a bunch of studs there in terms of offensive weaponry. Does he look at that? And Sutton's coming back from injury. He may say, all right, that makes sense for me to go there rather than some of these other places that are being pointed out, like the Jets are an absolute dumpster fire, right, as an organization. Now, I think they're heading in the right direction, but maybe he likes going to Denver. Maybe he really likes Carolina. So that's a point. I'm not saying it's impossible, but there is opportunities to trade up. What if Philly says we're rolling with Jalen Hurts again? That's a horrible roster, right? I mean, we can agree on that.
Right.
So they say, you know what, let's just push. Let's get more draft picks because we need a lot of things. And then maybe if Jalen Hurts doesn't work out, we go for a quarterback in the following season, right? So there's other teams. How about the Bengals? They need a million things, and they're sitting there at five, right? So
but they need they need someone for their offensive line.
Sure.
But I think they're taking a kid out of Oregon.
Yeah, Penei Sewell. But yeah. What if they say, all right, we're going to sign your old player, Joe Tooney, to a big, massive contract, which has been rumored, and he grew up like 50 miles from there. So you give Joe Tooney a big contract, and then you take another tackle or a guard later on in the draft because you need a lot of stuff for Joe Burrow. He may not even be ready for the season. So if you look at five and you get another first-round pick from the Patriots, maybe a second-round pick for the Patriots, wouldn't you be willing to play ball if you're Cincinnati when you know you're not making the playoffs in 2021 as it is, and you don't know when your quarterback's coming back? So that's my only point is, even if, like, your guy, Mitchell Trubisky, right? He's not a franchise quarterback, right? It's kind of been proven that he's not that franchise caliber
guy. Yeah,
but
half of the league don't have franchise quarterbacks.
Okay, but your point is you got to find the next quarterback. So why would you be going for a guy that's proven as a failure in the NFL? Just go for the franchise guy by trading up in the draft. See, Bill has done it one way. He hasn't had to think about this, right? The one time he did was drafting Jimmy Garoppolo. But at this point in time, look at all the successful teams in the NFL. The Chiefs traded up for Mahomes. The Bills traded up for Josh Allen. Before everything went haywire in Houston, they traded up for Deshaun Watson. Sometimes it's just how you have to do business in the league. And that's where I say, like, Bill always has changed as a coach. He's always adapted to the league. Remember when he took over the sport with the two tight ends?
Right.
So now when you look at it, you need to evolve as a GM. It's not 1994 anymore.
But that doesn't happen in
2 weeks. It's not 2002 anymore. You got to trade up and get your guy.
617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett. In fact, Tom Kernan was talking about what the Patriots look like with their assets in talking about the draft.
Do you feel more confident in their ability to find the right guys this time, especially at 15, Tom?
No, I don't. Because as it was suggested to me by one of the two guys I was talking to, I've already mentioned, you know, if they didn't take Harry, they might have taken Jawan. I mean, he was that high on Jawan Williams.
Wow.
So, no, I don't have faith in them. I don't start having faith until day three. I mean, really, honestly, I mean, that's based on recent history. They do not do a bang-up job in the first couple of rounds. So I don't have a great deal of faith. I would rather see them add free agents. They're never going to bottom out and be a top 10 team. Bill's too good as a game day coach, but their scouting staff is tiny right now. They've had so much turnover in the department. Their ability to scout right now because of the way the 2020 COVID season unfolded puts them behind the eight ball. I mean, you can almost say maybe it'll be better off with less information, but it's kind of a system-wide failure. And the only days that they show up and do a great job are game days and weeks and the week of preparation.
See, that's why I believe that Bill has to go the free agent route, because as you're trying to figure out a new dynamic, as you're saying, you got to somewhat go with what you know. So if Trubisky is an 8-8, 9-7 quarterback over the next couple of years, it's not the worst thing in the world, and it gives you time to figure out where you want to go. If you move up in the draft and pretty much push all your chips on someone who may not turn out to do what needs to be done, then I think you're almost like, Bill, you're gone in 2 years.
Quick response to that. Then I think we're burying the lead with what Tommy Curran said. But Mitchell Trubisky has already failed to be that guy. A team has traded up for him and he wasn't good, right? So wouldn't you want to get your own guy in here that has not played at the NFL level yet, that you've scouted, who you probably believe coming out of
college? I would want someone who's been hit with some adversity, knows what it's like to fail and have to get up, especially at that quarterback position, versus someone who comes in and they can just be totally overwhelmed. And now we can Mitchell end up looking like the Jets.
But, I mean, Mitchell Trubisky has been looking overwhelmed his entire career, right? So I don't understand why you wouldn't want to go after a Fields or a Lance if you could get up there, right?
Because they've never been on the pro field.
But Fields is a way better prospect than Mitchell Trubisky.
Bird in the bush versus a bird in the hand. I would rather take that guy who's been on that NFL field.
I totally understand. Yeah. I totally understand your point. Even if Mitchell Trubisky was a mediocre quarterback, but he has been a proven failure at the NFL level. So he's a proven failure rather than a guy that may turn out to be a franchise caliber quarterback, right? Justin Fields may turn out to be a great quarterback in the NFL. We know Mitchell Trubisky is never going to be a great quarterback in the NFL. There's a chance that Justin Fields could be that guy. But I do want to get back to something Tommy Curran said there.
Yeah.
Did you hear the Jawan Williams part? Holy crap. So if he didn't take N'Keal Harry in the first round, he was going to take Jawan Williams? He can't even get on the field now. This is incredible. Aqib Talib got called up by Bill Belichick. Aqib Talib said that Bill called him this offseason and said, hey, I got a special job for you with the team. He wanted him to cover tight ends, right? And Talib, it's a pretty funny clip. When Talib looked at the schedule, he said, oh, Darren Waller, Travis Kelce. No, I'm good. I'm going to retire. And he's good. He's entertaining as a broadcaster, right? But Bill drafted Jawan Williams to cover tight ends. He's 6'3". That was supposed to be his role with the team. You know, he was going to draft that guy in the first round. That's a concerning thing. That is real concerning. But,
you know, if they didn't take Harry, they might have taken Jawan.
What? What is that? Jawan Williams is going to be a first-round pick? He can't even get on the field.
Again, like I said,
when all the injuries
happen,
when
you're picking near the bottom, you're really picking the top of the next round.
But he wasn't even good in the top of the next round.
Unless you're getting a quarterback. Unless you're Baltimore, where you're like, hey, there's a chance to jump up and get Lamar Jackson at the end of the first round. Then, yeah, but what else do you jump up into the first round for at the bottom of to get that you can't get in the second?
Right, but my point about Jawan Williams is he wouldn't have been good in the bottom of the first round. He wouldn't have been good in the fifth or the sixth round. The guy can't get on the damn field. So there's obviously something wrong with him at practice to the point where he's not playing. Now, I understand for years, the past 4 to 5 years, the secondary has been a strength of this team. But that's embarrassing. If he actually was contemplating that, that would have been worse than the N'Keal Harry pick. I mean, really, that would have been worse than the N'Keal Harry in the first round. So that is a bit concerning. But I don't subscribe to the whole thing, because Bill has not had good first rounds the past couple of years. I guess technically last year he didn't have a first round pick.
Right.
That means he can never have a good first round pick again. I mean, look at Minnesota, right? They drafted Mike Hughes in 18, who sucks. He's not a good player, the cornerback. And then they drafted a lineman, a center, Garrett Bradbury, you look at his, the Pro Football Focus grades, he sucks. Last year, guess who they drafted? Justin Jefferson, one of the best rookie receivers of all time. So just because you miss in back-to-back years of the first round doesn't mean you're going to miss this year.
Well, it's also where you pick as well. If it's above 20, Bill has pretty much hit it out the park. Once you get below 20, then it's kind of like, okay, Harry, Sonny.
When's the last
Michelle
time he's really drafted below 20?
It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been a while. So when you're drafting at 15, there's a new stress that hasn't really existed in the last several years. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. 617-779-7937 or text line 37937. It's KJ and Barrett. We'll talk more Patriots plus the Celtics in action coming up. Thank you so much for hanging out with KJ and Barrett.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're back to KJ and Barrett on Sports Radio EI.
Beyond the idea that he's got a level of performance that he holds himself to and his team to, he doesn't want to listen to this foolishness after 20 years. I mean, I think it was probably stomach and gut-wrenching for him to listen to the criticism. And we could hear it by the end of the year as he was snidely saying, yeah, great question, any chance he got. Or he's not going to sit there and take it lightly to do things. What are the things that he will do? That's what fascinates me, Dale. Because I did the roster cuts, the cap casualties who may emerge in the NFC. There's a crap ton of good players who could be into the system. Where does Bill have to put his money? How much of it does he have to spend?
How fitting for Bill, right? I don't care anymore about all the things I hear about what you say. Well, with $70 million, you better care. KJ and Barrett on WEEI and on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Tommy Curran on Dale and Keefe talking about Bill. Here's all the talk.
I think for sure he does, because why does he go on with his buddy Charlie Weiss and basically say it's a reset year if he doesn't care what the people are saying, right? So he wanted to put it out there. We'd never hear Bill with excuse making, right?
The slow leak, the little political slow leak.
Yeah, right? He made sure to go out of his way to go on Charlie Weiss's show, which obviously is an extremely soft landing for him because he made Charlie Weiss and he got Charlie Weiss a lot of money at Notre Dame.
Remember your ND job, buddy.
He basically made excuses saying it was all in years.
Probably called Kansas, too. Can you help my buddy Charlie out, please?
I don't think they could. Jeez.
617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett. Alan Everett, thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Is that the great Tom E. Curran I'm listening to in there?
Yeah, that was
Tom,
Tommy
we Curran. We go back a long way, Tom E. Curran. Back to the Parcells days, and you're right on it. You've been ahead of the curve. But listen, watching on Quick Slants, watching Sports Tonight.
Al,
can we tell you something?
Al, he's not in
Santa
studio.
Claus is not.
Bill Belichick, hopefully, if there is a football god out there, will finally be exposed as the biggest fraud in the history of sports. That you guys even have to sit there and talk about who our quarterback's going to be in this one and that one. It's an absolute disgrace that this guy treated this Brady the way he did. 7 years ago, he tried to commit the what would have went down as the most monumental blunder in GM history, getting rid of Brady and keeping Garoppolo. A quick question for you, Tom, because I know you were
Al, hold on a second. Al, can you slow down for a second? That was just a soundbite from Tommy Curran, who was on with Dale and Keith earlier in the week. He's not actually in the studio.
Do I tell you what happens on December 25th, or do I keep that a secret?
I just turned his on. I heard his voice. That's all right. You can relay the message to him. I think
all
he's fantastic. He's on travel. But you guys, if you can find this out, I don't hear anyone ever saying it, but the guy honestly just is getting a pass right now, and really we shouldn't even be talking about this. If there were fans down there last year, he would have got booed off the field. I can't wait for this season because I've been saying it for 15 years, guys.
So, Al, let me ask you, how many years does Bill have left before you call for him to be fired?
I think, and no one's talking about this, you just went right into what I was going to say. I think that when Brady went to the Kraft's house, I think, why wouldn't they have done the same thing they did 7 years ago and said to him, we'll work this out, we'll talk to Bill? I think they did. But after hearing Bill say to him, I'll give you $15 million 1 year at a time, he said to the Kraft's, thanks, Bob, but no thanks. I can't deal with him anymore. That's how I think it went down.
How many years before you call for Belichick to be gone? If you think he's the reason that stunk everything up, how much time does he have left?
I think he's gone. I think next year. That's why I just said that. I think the Kraft's unhappy. I can't wait to hear Bob Kraft get an interview one of these days. I think they're very unhappy with Bill Belichick that he did this. And I think they wanted to keep Brady. and I think he's gone next year. How's that?
Al, thanks for the call.
I think Brady might run the table next year with the Buccaneers.
Al, thanks for the call.
There's a lot there, a lot to unpack. First of all, I thought Tommy Kern was in studio.
Well,
after you said that was Tommy Kern on the Daily
Santa Show. Claus. Isn't the story with Santa Claus that he actually tried to make the rides in the 1500s, but like hit a pole, like heading somewhere into Canada, and then that became like the theory of like he's coming to town, but he attempted it once and it didn't work out.
I have no idea.
I stay away from the Santa stuff. There
I
might
don't
be
have
a
my
9-year-old
research on that.
There might be a 9-year-old, but you know. It's one thing to be in love with Tom, and it's almost kind of like one of these Harlequin novels, right? It's just too good to be true. But at some point, you have to say, okay, Bill, your mistake was a one-off mistake. How long do you have left to correct it? Like, what is the time period that Bill Belichick has to correct the mistake of saying paying Tom Brady $25 million a year was not in the cards?
Well, it has to be now more of a long-term view in this, or you're not going to get the guy, right? You can't take a shortcut to find the starting quarterback. I believe Bill thought that maybe he would get that with Cam Newton, that Cam could be the Cam that we saw win the MVP in Carolina. It just turns out that the player is broken. So at this particular point in time...
But wouldn't that be a bad decision if you're looking at 5 years ago instead of the last 2 years?
Sure, but he was good his season prior to 19 as well. 18,
right.
He had a pretty good season from a statistical perspective, and it was his most accurate season as a passer. So I can understand doing it for a year, right? Saying, okay, let's try to go for this. Let's try to compete for the division, and let's see what happens. I understand that. But now when you look at the roster and you look how bad the roster is, you have to acknowledge where you are at as an organization. You suck. You have to rebuild this thing from the ground up, and that starts with finding the next franchise quarterback. See, the problem for Bill and Robert Kraft now is that Brady won, right? If Brady just made a deep run into the postseason, yeah, it would look bad, but not this bad. So the problem now for Bill is everybody wants him to find the solution, get everything done now. The problem is the roster is not in a place to do that. He needs a couple of years to rebuild this.
Paul in Rhode Island, you're on WEEI. Thanks for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
Hey, listen, we're bashing Belichick a little too much. I'm the first one to do that, okay? I'm not a calm and collective guy sometimes when I call the radio station. But the NFL, the players and the agents dictate who goes where. If one of these quarterbacks fall into the right place, then you'll have who's coming here. The Patriots are not going to spend until those fans come into the stadium. They're not going to spend over $20 million. Cam is not going anywhere.
Your starter next year?
No, he's not. No, he's not. I would like to see Winston here. I like to see Rosen here. But anybody under $20 million for both. There's no way that... I mean, Patriot Nation would be livid if you spend $25 million on one quarterback. Just to be a contender, you have to be under $20 million. And I think you can get
Wait,
two.
Paul, hold on, Paul. Let me ask you this question, though. Let's just say hypothetically. You said Patriots Nation will be mad if they spend more than $25 million on one quarterback. I assume that's because they wouldn't pay Brady that money. But, Paul, what if it was pie in the sky, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, or Deshaun Watson? You think if they brought in one of those franchise-caliber guys that the Patriots fan base would be mad? They wouldn't be excited for Watson, Wilson, or Aaron Rodgers?
Even Dak Prescott.
That's right.
No, Paul,
you
would be excited if Deshaun Watson was the quarterback of the Patriots, right? I mean, come on. Let's not get ridiculous here.
I would be excited if you got another brother here with Cam, yes, because it wouldn't be jealousy. You bring a young guy here that you draft, you'll create jealousy, okay? So let's stick to just being a contender. Just being a contender. You know Buffalo's got it. You know Miami is on a rise. Now you've got another threat, which is the Jets. So let's just play the cards right and just be a contender.
Yeah, but you're not a contender,
Paul. That's my opinion. Sorry?
You're not a contender right now. What are you talking about?
If you just... Cam has wasted his time being here.
All right, Paul. Okay, I don't even know where you're going. We appreciate the call, Paul. I don't know what the hell you're getting to. Paul, thank you for the call. I don't know where he's going. He's talking around in circles.
Two R's. Two T's, Barrett. Shotgun Barrett. But you know what's crazy in what he is saying? That if you did the $70 million...
I know it's crazy about what
he's
saying.
I know you're probably going to say everything. But in that whole budget of $70 million that Bill has to spend, if you're looking at other pieces and you're trying to be prudential in what you're trying to do, that number comes out to no more than about $25 million. It sounds crazy to address other things that are on the roster. You say, okay, we need to put this aside for this, handle this. If we want receivers to come in here, the most we could spend on a quarterback is probably about 25.
Sure, like I understand the perspective of, okay, you don't want to overpay the quarterback if he's not a great quarterback.
I see where
right?
you're coming from.
I totally understand that. Like if they signed Jameis Winston and they gave him $25 million, yes, that would be an
issue. Yeah, that'd be crazy. That's like 25 times what he was getting last year.
My whole point is that if you eventually pay a franchise caliber quarterback, like that's why I did the pie in the sky thing. Like if you brought in Russell Wilson, and I know he's not on the Patriots list, that's another issue that we can get into if we want. Yeah. But when you look at that, like nobody in no Patriots fan would look at that after they traded for Russell Wilson and say, well, I don't like this. They gave him more than Tom Brady. Like nobody would say that. Come on. Like that's absolutely ridiculous to me. And he said about like you got to get to the salary cap floor in terms of where you're spending.
Right, you
as
can't
well.
Carry it over.
And this is my question, KJ. When you look at this team, and because everybody wants to point out all this salary cap space, right? Ordinarily in the NFL, the teams that have salary cap space suck, right? Like this year, it's the Jaguars, it's the Jets, and the Patriots are in there. And usually, the Washington football team is in this category as well. The Cincinnati Bengals. Are we so sure that the Patriots roster in 2021? Is going to be better than the roster we just watched? Because I'm not convinced of that at all.
I think it will be, because money, while not the answer to everything, well, actually, money is the answer to everything when you really break it down to. And if you have money to spend, then if Bill spends wrong, then you've got a monumental problem, because if he underspends, says, well, no, I want to go the cheap route, he'll get castrated for that. If he spends on all these free agents and none of them work, then you'll just say, okay, Bill, as a GM, even spending money, you can't do that. So now you can't draft and spend money. You would have to go.
Yeah, but think about it this, though, KJ, is look at the roster you have right now and the guys that Stephon Gilmore, you think he's going to be on the Patriots in 2021?
No.
Okay, so that's your best defensive player. That's your best player on defense.
And that's your best trade asset at this point.
Well, yeah, what are you going to get for him at this point? He's coming off a quad injury, right?
Some offense.
So he's gone. Well, you could have got more for him last year at the deadline and Bill didn't want to move him. Joe Tooney is a great offensive lineman, a great left guard. Is he going to be on the roster next year? No, he's going to be playing for Cincinnati or Arizona. James White, one of the best pass-catching backs in the entire NFL, is he going to be on the roster? No, he's going to get big money from another team. So that's the point that I have is, okay, you have all this salary cap money, but a lot of your good players, David Andrews, they better make sure they keep one of those guys, Andrews or Tooney. The problem the Patriots are running into now is, yeah, they got all this cap room, but they got a lot of good players that may not be on the roster this year.
If it starts eating into your offensive line, everything else doesn't really matter.
I've heard,
could have the best receivers, but you won't have enough time to protect the quarterback.
And the opt-out guys, apparently, like it was reported this week, and Rappaport, they're coming back. Are we sure that Marcus Cannon's even on the team? That's a massive salary cap hit for him. And Patrick Chung's got a big cap hit. You have Duggar and Phillips. How much is he even going to weigh into the equation? And then, okay, yeah, Hightower, maybe he comes back and he plays well, but he has a high cap thing. And have you seen him? The guy looks like skinnier than I am. The guy looks like he was like a buck 80. Like, what's going on there? So he's going to get back into football shape, and he's an aging player to begin with at the age of 31 after not playing for a year. So I'm just not convinced that because the Patriots have all this cap room, the roster is going to be better in 2021 than it was last year.
617-779-7937 or at the text line 37937. It's KJ and Barrett. Phone lines are open. You're welcome to join the conversation here on WEEI.
You're listening to KJ and Barrett on Sports Radio EEI.
KJ and Barrett on WEEI, part of the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Had to get some Public Enemy on for the guy who wanted to get another brother. As a quarterback. Hey, sometimes I mentally telepathy in a way, understand what someone's saying and don't always, you know, hit him with the hammer. But you know, play a little Public Enemy. You want some brothers to be quarterback. Derek and Raleigh, thank you so much for calling WEEI. Go ahead.
Hello?
Derek, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I just like to talk about the Pats. And Bill has always been great at developing the defense. If they don't make a splash at quarterback, they're done for. They have to make a splash.
So describe splash. Free agency, trade?
They have to get a young quarterback that they can either feel that they can develop, or, like you said, like someone like Russell Wilson, Jesus, I'm losing the names now. Rock,
Derek, what's wrong with your dog, like, man? What's going on with the dog?
Sorry. It is the
somebody
elephant.
Outside.
It is the elephant in the room, but it's a dog, right?
Sorry.
All right, hey, appreciate the call, Derek.
Yeah, thank you so much, Derek, for the call. Yeah, that's why I like Trubisky.
Because Derek's dog's outside?
Well, yeah, that's what the dog was actually barking. Trubisky. It was, they just, you know, just can't dial a phone. But I think, seriously, the reason why I like Trubisky is, one, he's a free agent, so you can negotiate. Two, if Bill doesn't want to pay a whole lot for a quarterback, this is a quarterback who can't ask for a whole lot other than an opportunity. And three, he's played in NFL games consistently, good or bad. That's where the coaching up comes from. And you could argue that maybe Josh McDaniels could do a better job in developing him in this system where he's mobile. That's what they're going to need moving forward. And it would be better than Cam.
Yeah. Look, you and I are just never going to disagree on the player. I just believe he sucks. You think there's still potential there.
There's hope.
But either way, it's still not the long-term fix of the organization, right? They have to find that next guy. And you also point out the fact that, oh, Bill doesn't want to spend the money. And that's something that I am fearful for. Like, in the future, Bill's going to have to put a lot of money into that position. That's just the going rate of where quarterbacks are in this league. The other thing I like about the rookie idea in trading up is, first of all those guys are more talented than Mitchell Trubisky. But secondly, is you get them under a rookie contract. And that's where Bill can build up the rest of the roster, and he's going to have all this salary cap space. Look at the non-Tom Brady teams to win the Super Bowl recently, right? You go all the way back to Russell Wilson with the Seahawks. He was making less than $1 million. Look at the Eagles that beat the Patriots. They had a rookie quarterback in Carson Wentz, and they were paying Nick Foles nothing. Pat Mahomes, when he won his Super Bowl, still on his rookie contract. So that's a method to go about this and a reason to go after a rookie.
617-779-7937. It's KJ and Barrett. Matt in Hartford, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
Just wanted to say real quick, I think someone just called in and said they'd rather have Josh Rosen than Cam Newton, if I heard that correctly. And I don't want to be a Cam defender, but looking at it at the end of the day here, you know, Jacoby Myers is leading the team with 59 receptions on the whole season. And that's the reason we lost Tom. I don't hear anyone really talking about bringing Cam in to mentor a young guy moving up in the draft rather than Josh Rosen or anything like that. He's not going to go out there. Belichick's not going to go out there and suddenly, you know, spend $25 million on Russell Wilson or anyone. I don't know why anyone's expecting anything different and why Cam's not going to be back for $2 million this season.
Matt, thanks for the call. I mean, I do like the idea of Cam coming back, understanding the system a little better, competing, knowing ultimately that he won't be the guy, and having a young quarterback in front of him. I mean, maybe I'm not going to take the flag out of the sand. I want Trubisky, and I never thought I would say that 2 years ago. But in this current state of the team, at least the guy, he's the one free agent that played in a playoff game that's available.
Yeah, I mean, to the Cam point that he brings up, I don't want any part of Cam back on this team. Now, the only thing I'd give Bill, like if he brought Cam back and there was an actual bridge to something, right? Because we keep talking
broadcasting.
About
broadcasting.
Yeah, well, but we talk about these bridge quarterbacks. Like, what's the bridge to, right? Like, Cam was supposed to be a bridge quarterback to the next Patriots quarterback. Well, who's the bridge to? So if you trade up and you get a quarterback and Cam's on the roster, fine. And you don't have to rush a guy like, say, it's Trey Lance that you trade up to take Trey Lance. Okay, so you don't have to play him right away. Just like the Chiefs didn't have to play Pat Mahomes right away because they had Alex Smith. I'm fine with that if you have Cam Newton, but Cam cannot be, it's Cam and it's Stidham and it's maybe somebody else you get on the free agency market that isn't that good. It can't be that. There's got to be some sort of plan at the quarterback position, because now this is year two of no plan at the quarterback position.
As of now, we've only seen 1 year of no plan at quarterback. And I'll put it this way. It was a plan that went bad that no one saw, that Cam could not throw the ball efficiently. He just couldn't do it. No one saw that.
Well, I think that, okay, so I got all in on the Cam hype train. I was like, all right, nobody else wants him, fine. Well, like, they'll figure out a way to do it. I did not know how washed up he was, right? I didn't think that he was going to be able to not throw the ball, or he wasn't going to be able to throw the ball into the end zone on a Hail Mary attempt. I didn't realize the player was that broken. And, like, the big thing about Cam is he's a great athlete. He's not a great athlete anymore. He doesn't run away from linebackers. So I was okay with it last year, but this year I'm not okay with just Cam and Stidham. There's going to be the future Patriots.
It would be insanity because it would literally be the same thing as last year. Frank in Florida, thanks for calling WEEI. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you? I'm a season ticket holder with the Patriots since 1971. And this past year, I had tickets for Tampa Bay because I'm down here in Bradenton. And until they fix the quarterback position, the team is going to flounder. And the days of cheaping it up that Bill does with the quarterback are gone. He's got to go out and get the best quarterback out there. Because the free agents aren't going to come here with Cam Newton.
So who is that, Frank, for you? Who's the guy you say that he needs to go get?
Watson.
I think that's always a possibility through relationships. Thanks, Frank, for the call. Look, call me crazy. That's perfectly fine. My wife does half the time. But with relationships between Caserio and plus with Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack down there, there may be a situation that it gets to where it clearly looks like, and I've said this, Deshaun Watson is not going to show up. They're not going to let him go until it gets to the very, very end, probably somewhere in the season. Then that might be a call where you say, look, we don't need everything in the world to get rid of this guy. We have a relationship with you. Here you go.
Yeah, I just don't see, like, that would be great. I mean, obviously, we would love Deshaun Watson as the Patriots quarterback.
It's the 2% chance the guy's, and 100%.
The guy's absolutely incredible. I just look at it as the Patriots don't have much to offer the Texans. So as much as there's a previous relationship, and I'm not so sure that Caserio would want to help Bill, right? Because 2 years ago, Caserio was offered that job by the Texans, and he couldn't take it because the Patriots filed tampering charges. And they took him back, but I'm not saying they weren't right to do it. I mean, the guy's at Kraft's ring party recruiting Nick Caserio. Jack Easterby's recruiting him, okay? So the guy's a scumbag, Jack Easterby, even though he's a...
The make good sometimes can be unbelievable. But, how did you...
So, first of all...
You gave him a Corvette just for loaning him some sugar? That does happen.
I don't get it. What's he... So...
Getting a whole lot of something for virtually nothing.
Oh, you're saying if the Patriots got...
That relationship...
Watson.
Yeah, that relationship may be one of those situations where it's like, look... You guys are where you want to be. You know where we are. We can help you with your situation. You got the
cap
room.
But how could they, though, the Patriots, really? Like, the other teams can, right? So, hypothetically, the Jets could help the Texans because they could say, all right, it sucks. You have to lose Deshaun Watson, one of the best quarterbacks in the sport. But at least at two, you can have your pick of Justin Fields or Zach Wilson. Even Miami, they could say, hey, you probably have a chance at either Justin Fields or Zach Wilson, or if you really like Tua, or if it's San Francisco, we could even say, all right, Nick Caserio, you love Jimmy Garoppolo coming out of the draft. We can offer you Jimmy G and the 12th pick, so it makes sense. With the Patriots, unfortunately, they just don't have a lot to offer the Texans.
Or maybe the Texans aren't interested in winning right away.
So, but why wouldn't you want to get a quarterback then? Even if you're not, they're not going to win right away anyway. They just, what did they win? Four games with Deshaun Watson, right?
Right.
So why wouldn't you want to get your future quarterback in there? I don't know why you would delay the inevitable. If you lose Watson, that's a massive hole in the organization that you need to fill. So you would think that you would want to get a quarterback in there rather than not. So you want to present that opportunity to yourself. And the other thing that I would say as it pertains to Watson is it just feels like this thing is going to get uglier and uglier. And I don't blame the Texans for how they're handling it right now. Why would you trade him immediately? I would wait it out. I mean,
it's going to be waited out.
The price is going to continue to go up on Watson.
I think Watson has to show up by week 11 in order to count towards this year.
Yeah.
So probably week 10.
The other thing to his point is, right, so he wants Bill to find the next quarterback. We ask him who that is. It's Watson. Okay. The odds of you getting him are very slim. That's
a bird in the bush.
That's why I advocate for trading up, because that's really your only avenue right now to get the next great Patriots quarterback for the next decade or so. There's no other way to do it right now unless something happens. As I mentioned, like Dak Prescott, if you really want to try to out-recruit him next year, there's a chance. I think Prescott's a good player. I know some people disagree with me. I think he's really good. He's a solid quarterback. You can build up the roster for a year.
Yeah, but Jerry Jones, I think he's done in Dallas after this year.
Well, he has to be if they don't get an extension.
Well, I think also Jerry Jones doesn't want Dak Prescott to be the face of the Cowboys. I think that's a whole nother psychoanalysis behind it. That's why he dragged his feet so long. Any business person who said, hey, if we could have got the same player for half the price than what it's going to cost us, most people get fired from that organization. If you have to pay double for something you could have already had. So.
Yeah, I mean, they should have got a deal done, but that's a dumbass organization. Even though they make a ton of money, they're a bad football organization, I should say. They're a good business, bad football organization. But just think about this. So Dak right now is going to be on the hook for $37 million, okay? So if you're Dak Prescott, if I'm Dak Prescott, there's no way I'm taking a contract extension unless it's north of $40 million. Why would I? I'm
making 37 this year. Yeah, his number has to be 40,
and then
period.
But how about this? The following season, right, if the Cowboys say, all right, we're franchising you again, they're... They're not gonna, 54
something?
Million.
Yeah,
they're not going to do it. So if they don't get a deal done, he becomes essentially an unrestricted free agent next year. So if you want to try to recruit Dak Prescott next offseason, I'd be fine with that. But the problem is there's no guarantee in that. If you find a way to trade up and get Lance or get Fields, the guy's here. Like, right. That's a wish with Dak.
Let's take a quick break here on KJ and Barrett. 617-779-7937. Got spots for you to get your calls in, get your talk out. Plus, we'll also discuss what's going on with the Celtics and how this was this was kind of predicted. So thanks for hanging out with KJ and Barrett on WEEI on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.